The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Pehet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Nisim Halevi in memory of Rahamim ben Victoria. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Again, dedicated by Nisim Halevi, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fu'a Shelema, Yosef ben Sarah, V'Sarah bat Rachel, Edna refer lahem. B'toch She'ar Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. In today's Gemara, daf Pedalid Amud Bet, and we are four lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins relating some more episodes regarding people that were tofes, that grabbed property and then went to Bet Din, and we're going to see the proceedings, exactly what the Hakamim told them. So the Gemara begins, Yemar Bar Hashu, so the name of a person, Hava Masik Bezuze Bahu Gabra. So he was a creditor. Money was owed to him by a certain person, so he was trying to take the money out of him. Shechiv v'shabik arba. So the guy who owed the money died, and he left a boat. That was his only asset he had, was a boat. Amar le'lishluchei. So Yimar Bar Hashu tells his messenger, Zil tifsa nihali. Go take the boat for me. Which means I'm a balhov. The guy died. Go to the boat, grab the boat, and have kavanah to be zocher for me. What happened was azal tafsa. So the shaliach went and he grabbed the boat. Pagu be rabbapa v'rabuna b'ned Rav Yoshua. So those two rabbis also met up with this shaliach, who this guy owed those rabbis money as well. So now the rabbis come along and tell Yemar Bar Hashu's servant or shaliach v'hamrule at tofes lebaal hov b'mkom shechav la'achirim. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, "Hatofes lebaal chov b'mkom shechav le'achirim lo kana." Do you have a rule? A person is allowed to be tofes lebaal chov. We know that already, which means a person going tofes and that's it. It's his. And you can also send a shaliach as well. You don't have to do it yourself. You can send your shaliach. Like in this case, over, we have a rule: when your shaliach does it, he cannot be tofes if it's going to hurt somebody else. So they're coming along and saying, hey, we're here live here. We also owed money over here. So you have no right to come to be tofes for a baal chov as a shaliach of Yemar Bar Hashu when we're also creditors and we're owed money and we're here. Mm-hmm. Understand? Which means if Yemar Bar Hashu was there himself, okay, then whoever's the strongest guy grabs. But she'ekin a shaliach, because what's the shaliach doing? He's not taking for himself. He's being zocheh for Yemar Bar Hashu. So that's considered tofes the baal chov, because he's not tofes for himself. You're affecting me now, which means I'm here. So therefore they told him, get out. You don't have an option here to grab the boat. It's between the two rabbis. So the Gemara says, tafsua inu. So the rabbis would tofes the boat for themselves. How did they tofes the boat? So the Gemara gives us different methods. How each rabbi was a separate individual credit to himself. So now the rabbis are fighting amongst themselves to be tofes the boat. So the first rabbi comes along and says, Papa Mimlach Maluche. Mimlach Maluche means he rode the boat. He took the oars, went in the boat, and started the. How you connect a boat? You have to draw it to you. So he went. He got in the boat like a sailor. Maluche is a sailor. And he started to row the boat. So Gemara says, Rabbuna, but Rabbi Yeshua, Mamtach La Be'ashla. He took a rope and he pulled the boat with a rope. Each one trying to, make a kinyan on the boat. Moramar ana kanina lechula. Moramar ana kanina lechula. Each rabbi said, "Listen, I was kuneh the whole boat. I was doing the whole boat." The argument between the rabbis was which is the normal way to be kuneh a boat: to pull it or to row it. So what happened? So the rabbi met them. Amar lihu, Rav Shmuel de Amri Tarvayu. They said in the name of Rav Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel, Vehu shesivurin umunachim b'shut rabim. We learned already that the only time you can be tofes lebal chov is if the item is in the reshut rabim. Then Rabbi Tarfon said, "Kol hakodem zakah," like we learned in the Mishnah. And therefore, he says over here, the boat's not in the Reshut Rabim. Where will you create the boat? Which means it has to be in a public area. Otherwise, the boat goes directly to the Yorshim. So therefore, what's your question? So they came back and answered, Amrule anana me mahrifuta de nahara tafesna. So they come along and say, where do you think we got the boat from? We got the boat from the waters of the river, which is really considered like a Reshut Rabim, was really not in anybody's domain, and therefore we're able to make a tefisa. So it's like Reshut Rabim. We got it from the river area. Okay, so now they have a machlok, it's still amongst themselves. Who gets the boat? Atule kame de Rava. So they came in front of Rava. Amar lehu kake hevare. He told them, you white ducks or geese. Kake hevare. Which is, in this case, that was the way they referred to the Tamidei HaChamim that were old. Because Kakeh is white, or Hevareh is white. So they're like the sages that were, have white beards already because they're old. Kakeh Hevareh, the white geese, meaning old sages, Mishalhei Gilimei De'inche, that take off garments from people. What does it mean they take off garments from people? Which means they're judges. Jeez, what does a judge do? He says that this one is guilty, he has to pay, they take the gilim out off and they pay, give it to somebody else. So some say that it was really referring to the rabbis in this terminology is a derogatory thing. What are you fighting for the boat over here? You're coming home to Beit Din, so even though he's telling you, Tamid HaChamim, Dayanim, but he said it in a derogatory manner. And he comes along and says, Hachi Amar of Nachman. Didn't we learn in yesterday's daf what Rav Nachman said? That the whole deen that we're saying can be tofes is only mehayim, because we postulate Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says, what? You cannot be tofes only mehayim. The guy died, now you grab the boat. So therefore, there's nothing to talk about. The boat does not belong not to you and not to you. Therefore, you have to let the Yorshim take the boat. That was that episode. I give it tells another story about tefisa. Avimi. Bered Rabbi Abu. Havu maske bezuze be chozae, which means he was hayav money to the people of bechozae. He owed them money. Avimi, the son of Rabbi Abu. So what happened? Shadrinu biyad hama bered Rabba bar Abu. So he sent the money. I mean, he didn't pay them directly. He sent the money with a shaliyang and go pay the people of bechozae. Azad barainu. He went. He paid them. Amar lehu. So when he got to Mehoza, this shaliyah, the people of Mehoza say, "Havu ni shtara." They tell him, "Give us." He tells him back, "I'm sorry, give me the shtar," which means I'm paying you. Normally, once you pay the debt, so the lender gives the shtar back, and you take the shtar and you rip it up. You don't want him to use the shtar twice. So he came along and said, "Okay, listen, I'm paying you the money for the rabbi. Could you do me a favor? Give me the shtar back." So they come along and tell him. Amrule sitra'eninu. They tell him this is a side loan, which means this is there's two loans taking place over here. One loan was made without a shtar, and one loan was made with a shtar. You're paying us over here. This is for the side loan over here. We're still keeping the shtar, and we're going to get paid the real debt. So what did he do? He paid them. Atale kamed Rabbi Abu. So he comes in front of his father, Rabbi Abu. This is Avimi. Avimi is the one that owed the money. Avimi, he goes in front of his father to see, what do we do in this case over here? Amar le, it lak sa'adid de par'itinu. Do you have witnesses that you paid? Which means when the shaliach paid it, how did he pay the money? He just gave it to them. Was there any witnesses that they paid the money? So he comes along and says, Amar le, no, there's no witnesses. You just gave it to them. Amar le, they have a migu now. Migu di yecholim nomar lo ayu devarim me'olam yecholim nami le me'mar sitra'eninu. Which means, these guys now have a migu. They could have lied. They could have came along and said, we never got paid at all. No, prove that they got paid, bichlal. So since they have a migu, they could have said, we never got the money, bichlal. So you have to believe them when they come along and say that it's a side loan. Because could you have any proof that these guys got paid? If they wanted to lie, these guys, they could have said, we got nothing. They're admitting, no, we got paid, we're not arguing, no, there's no witnesses. So you're taking their word. Taking their word, so they also could now say, Sitra'eninu. Oh, so now the next question is, Le'anyan shaluma shaliyah mai. And now the question is, okay, can I get the money from the shaliyah? Which is, this guy jeopardized me over here. Who asked him to go pay the money? He should have came back to me and asked me, hey, is there a side loan over there and all that? How did he give them money without taking back a shtar? So maybe the shaliyah's on the hook now. Maybe the shaliyah has to pay for the expenses. Understand what he was asking him now? So it comes to Gemara and say, you don't pay money unless you get a shtar first.
Didn't we say it's a side loan?
That's what they say. You're putting me in jeopardy over here. The rabbi saying there's no side loan over here. He's coming along. You're supposed to come back and ask, or you say, listen, I'm not giving you the money until I get a shtar back. So it comes to Gemara and says, Amar Rav Asher. So Rav Asher says, Hazinan. We see like this. I Amar Le Shekol Shtara Ve'Havzuzeh Mishalim. Tells him, what did he tell you? What did you tell him? If you told him, take the shtar and pay, then the shaliyah's on the hook. But if you told him, pay and take the shtar, so then you're on the hook. Then it's not his fault. When you told him, pay and take the shtar, that's what he did. He paid, but once he paid already, they were able to now tell him that there was a side loan over here. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara says, that's not the halakha. Velohi. Ben kach u ben kach mishalim. Doesn't matter, the shaliyah is always on the hook. You know why? Because the mishaliyah always has a claim against him. What's the claim? The amar le, letekune shadartik velo la'avute. Listen, I sent you for my benefit, not for my detriment. And therefore, you came along, you put me in a detriment. Now I have to pay a double loan now there. So therefore, you can always assume that the shaliyah is sent for the benefit of the mishaliyah, not for the detriment. Okay, now the Gemara gives another episode on somebody that was tofes with the nechassim of the met. Ahi iteta da'avu mifkede gaba maloga d'shtare. Okay, there was a certain lady. It was mufkad by her. I mean, she had by her a folder filled of shtarot. Shtarot meaning all of papers, IOU papers that's owed to him. Right? So he has all these shtarot, the guy, and he's holding it by this lady. And now the guy died. So now this lady has all the shtarot in her possession. So what happens? Atu yorshim katabu demina. So the yorshim come along and say, hey, we want the shtarot. This is beneficial to them. They can get paid. Right? Amra lehu mehayim tafisna lehu. Listen, I'm to wear to face these items. She says mehayim. I'm holding on to the shtarot mehayim. Now, what is she really trying to do? She can't get paid with these shtarot of it. The nets were not to her. So she's to face them. What is she going to go to somewhere? Give me the money? It's paper she was to face. She wasn't to face the hob. So explanation is, she wants to use it now as blackmail-like, which means they owed her money. So therefore, she's coming along and saying, hey, listen, you want the shtarot over here? I was to face them mehayim. I'm not giving you the shtarot until you give me my money. So it was a way to hold on to something. But all she's holding on, yeah, separate loan. All she's holding on to is the paper. And don't think that by keeping the shtarot, now she's going to start collecting money. The loan was not made to her. Ela what? She's holding on to the shtarot at least to come along to tell them, now, listen, you pay me, and I'll give you back the shtarot so you can collect it for your father's debt. So they came in front of the rabbi. Now, by the way, it's her word that she's saying, I was tofes mehayim. How do you believe her? Was she tofes mehayim or not? You don't know. So the Gemara says, they came in front of the rabbi. They came in front of Rav Nachman. Amar la, so Rav Nachman tells the lady, Eat lach sihadeh, do you have proof? De tavua minach mehayim, velo yehavit nihaleh? Which means, do you have proof that the father asked you back for the shtarot? Not the father, the man asked you back for the shtarot during his life, and you refused, and you didn't give it to him. Which is, you have an ayah that you were tofes really me'ayim. Amra le lo. So Rav Nachman said, the lady said, no, I don't have an ayah. So she comes along. In ken havu tefisa de la harmita. Then you have to assume that the tefisa was done after that. Utefisa de la harmita lav klumu. Why? Because these shtarot were given to the lady as a pikadon. Right? They were not hers. So the automatic hazakah, when she's holding these shtarot, whose shtarot is really they are? They're the father's hazakah, not the father's, or the men. Which is, he didn't give him the, normally in a case where we say tefisa, what's the pshat? Where the guy's on his deathbed, he owes money, so Baal Chov comes along and grabs it out of him, wants to be tofes mahayim. That's the way it normally works over here. Here, even when it was in her hands, she's not considered a tofeset because it's a pekadon. So it's always considered, even when it's in her hands, we consider it in the hands of the father, of the man. Mm-hmm. The point is, it was never, even when it was transferred, it wasn't transferred. And therefore, unless you bring proof the other way that you have ra'ayah that you were tofes ma'ayim, even though it's in your hands, there's no proof to anything. It's still assumed that it's by the man. And therefore, when he dies, the shtarot automatically go to the yorshi, because you have to assume that you didn't make the tefisa until after he died, unless you have ra'ayot. Therefore, you lose, and therefore the yorshim get the shtarot. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, you can dafka be tofes mechayim. So she's coming, oh, that's tofes mechayim. Prove me that you were tofes mechayim. What do you mean? I'm holding it. Holding it is no raya. Even when you were holding it to you, you were holding it because it was a pikadon. You were watching it. Again, in a normal case, when a guy's holding something, you could say you're tofes mechayim because that's what you do. When the guy's still alive, you go grab it. Here, I can say that when you were holding it, you were in the tofes. Now all of a sudden, after the death, you want to come along and say tofes, right? So you could play games with the yorshim. Nothing doing. No raya, go give the shtarot to the yorshim. Now the Gemara gives another story about a din. He itita. There was a certain lady, the ehayba shivua bedinat deraba. Okay, she was hayevet shivua in the betin of Rabba. Which means a guy came to her and said, you owe me money. She came along and said, I don't owe you anything. She was kofir. And the law is, the one that's kofir, that says, I don't know anything, swear that you don't know anything, and walk. So she was hayevet shavua. Amra le bat Rav Chisda. So the daughter of Rav Chisda, who was actually the wife of Rava, tells her husband, yada na ba de hashuda ashavua. Says, listen, I know this lady over here. She swears falsely. She's not an honest lady, so you're not going to gain anything by making her swear that she doesn't owe anything. I'm telling you, she's not an honest lady. So what did he do to Rabbi? Apcha Rabba l'shpua ashikinigda. So Rabbi switched her over here. He made the one that has the claim to swear. I mean, you're claiming that she owes you $1,000? Swear that she owes you $1,000. He switched the law around. Normally, the one that's claiming that I don't know anything, swear you don't know anything and walk away. But we're not going to gain by swearing over this lady over here is a liar. So definitely switched it around. He made the one that's the plaintiff, the one that's stands with the claimant to make the shivua. So comes Gemara and says, Zimnin avu yetve kameh. One time, the following rabbis were sitting in front of Rava. Rapapa v'rava dabar batna. I too ahu shtara gemeh. They want to start to the betin. Amar de rapapa yada'an abed shtara pri'ahu. He says, listen, I know already this shtar over here that they're bringing in front of betin, it was paid already. It's a paid shtar. So the guy's going to try to use it to take payment again. Amar le, so Rava tells Rapapa, Ika ini shaharina bahade demor. Is anybody else with you to testify that it's a shtar that was paid? Amar le, no, I'm the only one telling it to you. Amar le, afagav di ikamor edehad laf klumu. So what kind of, it's only one witness over here. How can I say the shtar is paid? You know, the only one witness. So comes the Gemara, Amar le, atabar matna, velo yera papa, kebat Rav Chisda. So what do you mean? When Rav Chisda's wife came along and she said that we don't trust this lady because she's not Mehman, he trusted her. I mean, one witness already he trusted. Yeah. Now you have one witness coming along and saying what? That the shtar is paid. So this rabbi should not be worse than the daughter of Rav Chisda. Didn't Rav trust the daughter of Rav Chisda when his wife came along and said, hey, this lady over here, she's not Mehman on Shavua. I say, oh, okay, I trust you. I mean, he trusted his wife. Now the rabbi comes along and tells the papa comes to tell Rabba, hey, listen, I'm telling you, the shtar was a parua. Oh, do you have anybody else with you over here? Or, you know, what's your only one witness? So Akmi's question. So comes the Gibran and says, Bat Rav Chisda kimli begava. More lo kimli begava. Wow, he says, the daughter of Rav Chisda, she never lies. Mm-hmm. But she said something, you know, 100% that long. He says, I don't know, you're not the iman yet to me that 100%, still safek after you said it. So Gemara says, hashtag the amar, so the papa says, hashtag the amar mor. Now that you tell him that you could use that sevarav, kimdi begaveh, that item's a miltai, it's an item, which means that's something you can say, kimdi begaveh, I trust that person, I never's going to lie, kegon abab bar mori, which means, like Ababar, my son. If he would come to bid to keep the begavish, I trust him also. Then he would never lie. If he comes along and tells me that the shtar is parua, I believe him to the extent what? I'll rip the shtar. Which you, now you tell me in the rule that if there's a person that you're 100% beyond shadow, you know he's telling you the truth. So he says, all right, now you taught me something. If my son is going to come down to bid and tell me this shtar is parua, I'm going to rip it up. Now, if I should say he can't rip it up. Because bottom line, it is only one witness. But the point is, he's not going to judge it. Which is, in my bet din, I cannot litigate this case because I trust him. Now, what's going to happen? The guy's going to have to go to another bet din. And if another bet din takes payment from the shtar, that's their problem. You can't rip a shtar up one witness. When the Gemara says karana, it's lavdavka. Because bottom line, it is still one witness. Even if the guy's meheman, how could you rip up a shtar on just the one witness? And I'm saying, I won't litigate on this shtar in a bet din where my son comes and tells me it's parua. What are they going to have to do with the litigants? They'll have to go to another bet din somewhere else, and they'll have to, you know, see if they can get another bet din to extract the money, but not in his bet din. So the Gemara asks, Karana Sagadatak? What do we think is going to rip up the shtar? I can rip up the shtar. It was Ela Marana Shtar Apu. Which means I'm going to weaken the hazakah of the shtar. Meaning I'm not going to take money based on my son's testimony, and he'll have to go, like we said, to a different beti. Gemara brings another story. Hey, iteta. There was a certain lady. Okay, she was hayavit shivu'ah in the bedin of Rabbi Bai Barabi. Amar li hu ba'al davar. So the one that was against her comes along and says, Titi v'tishtaba'a b'mata. Comes along and says, listen, I wanted to swear, not in bedin, I wanted to swear in the city, in front of all the people, that she doesn't owe me this money. If shad mechasfa umodya. Maybe she'll get embarrassed to swear in front of all the people of the city, and then she'll end up admitting that she owes the money. And he's trying to, you know, put the pressure on. So comes the Gemara and says, Amra lehu. So the lady says, fine. But she tells the judges, do me a favor. Kidvuli zakhvata. I want you to write for me a paper that says already, so-and-so swore in front of all these people, and the case closed. I don't want him coming back to me another time and saying she owes the money. I want you to write a paper that testifies that that's it. I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm innocent. Dehi mishtaban, and when I swear, yavudi, you'll give it to me. She's not asking it for it now. She didn't swear yet. But write me a paper, like a receipt that says, you know, she did what she was supposed to do, and the case is closed, and she's innocent. And when I swear eventually, you'll give it to me. So the Bibai Barabaya tells the Betin, okay, write it. Amara papi. Mishum de atitu memulae amritu mile mulyata. You came from a family that's has short life, because he came from a family. Rabbi Baiba Rabbi is from Mishpahat Eli. So he says you came from a family memulae that's a cut. Therefore, your words are cut. Which means what are you talking about? I could you write a shtar about something that happened before it happened? How did you put something like that? So he's knocking him. He's telling him, because you come from a family that is cut, meaning mishpat eli korte yamim. So your words are also cut. You don't make any sense. Why? Ha amar Rava. Didn't Rava say hi asharta de dayane? Asharta de dayane is a kiyum on a shtar. What is it? You have a shtar. Shtar's coming for the bitty. So you have witnesses. So you got to certify the witnesses to make sure the witnesses are kosher before you could extract money from the shtar. So the rabbis, what they call, they write an ashai. They give a certification. We testify that these witnesses over here are kosher. So the Gemara says, "Hi, ashtata de dayane, the mekatla mekamed din havu saadeh hatimot yedayu." That's written before we're able to confirm the signatures of the witnesses, before the witnesses are verified. Pesula. They write like this. We, in this Beit Din, testify that the two witnesses on this star are kasher. Now they hold it. Right? Then the witnesses come along and they say, that's my signature. Okay. So they say, you wrote this before that happened? This star of it is pasul. Why? Because when you wrote it, it's like you're lying. Nothing happened yet. What are you writing? We testified that the star is kasher. You didn't certify it yet. So just like over there, you can't write the star before the event happens. Here also it's Mechzik Shikra. What are you writing? This lady swore in front of the masses, and she's innocent. She didn't do it yet. So how could you come along and say that this is an option? That was the question they asked on Rabbi Bar Abaye. Yeah. So Gemara says that claim veleta. It's not so. You can do it. Why? Midrav Nachman. From Rav Nachman's law, the Amar of Nachman, Omer Ayar Bimeir Afilu Mitzao Be'Ashpa. You found a get in a garbage, which means you found a get happens to have his name on it, happens to have the same as wife's name on it. So you say, beauty, okay, get. I want to take, picks the get from the garbage. What does he do? V'hatamo. So he goes now. He signs witnesses on the get. Untano la, and he gives it to his wife. Kasher, and it's considered migureshet. Now, even though the get was not written for this situation, the get was written for somebody else's situation. The Rebbe doesn't know the get has to be written in the Shema. He knows as long as you have the right names in the get, okay. So technically, the guy didn't have an intention for this get. The get was found in the street. You find it in the garbage, the right names, you go, you give it to your wife. So they go, v'afilu da banan. And even the rabbis that argue on Rabbi Meir, lo perigi aled Rabbi Meir ela begiter nashim debayne ketiba lishma. They only argue by a get because they say the ketiba has to be for the names of the people that are getting divorced. It's not enough to get the right names. You have to have the ketiba lishim, these exact people. Ava b'shar shtarot, but other shtarot module, which means on another star, for example, let's say you had a star that was already had same names, you owe me this amount of money, those names are right, you use it, you can use it, even though it wasn't written for this, it was written before the situation even happened. And what's the proof? Because the Gemara gives a case, the Amar of Asa, Amar of Yohanan, Shtar Shedava, let's say you have a shtar, you borrowed money with the shtar, Upra'o, then you paid, so now what do you do with that shtar usually? You rip it up. So it says, Eno Chozer Velovebo. Now let's say this, you know what, I want another loan. Let's renew the loan, let's use the same shtar. You can't use the same shtar, but why can't you use the same shtar? So Gemara gives a new reason. Shkvan nimhal shi'mudo. Because when you use a shtar, that already puts a lien on properties. Which means now, you owe me money, I have a shtar, I can go now to the people that you sold properties to and extract it. Because the shtar already puts a shi'mud on karka. However, if it's ba'al peh, let's say we just make a loan verbally. Do me a favor, make a loan or not. I cannot go now take money from the likuhot. The law is like this. Once I use the shtar and the shtar was paid, its power of putting liens already was used already. Now if I'm going to use it again, it's going to be considered melveh al peh. And I'm not going to be able to use the strength of a shtar to put likuhot. So therefore the Gemara says, don't use the shtar over again because it's not going to affect likuhot. So the Gemara says, ta'amad nimhal shi'mudo. The only concern over here is because why? Nimhal shi'mudo. Because once the shtar is used, it doesn't have power to now put another. Because the shi'mud was for loan number one. The shi'mud was not for loan number two. So therefore, that's the problem. Because you're putting yourself at a disadvantage because you're not going to get shi'mud. Aval limechzik shikra lo haishinan. But the mechzik shikra was not the reason. Which I'm not worried that the shtar was written before the loan was even discussed. That's not the issue over here. The issue over here is don't use such a shtar because you're not going to be able to have shamrudim. But what do you see from over here? That even though the shtar was written before the transaction, it's okay. We're not worried about mechzik shikra. Therefore, there's no problem with happening in that betin over there. When the lady said, do me a favor, before I swear, I want you to write down that I swore and everything's fine and all that. And after I swear, you'll give it to me. The rabbis wrote it down. So they came to Rabbi Baba and said, what are you talking about over here? You can't do such a thing. It's mechzik shikra. So we don't go with mechzik shikra. From two proofs. Number one, you see, from the BME, the guy finds a get in the street, he could go give it. The get was written before he even contemplated anything. Go give it, no problem. And even the Rabbanan, that argue by a get, that's only because they hold the Shema. But by regular shtarot, even the rabbis will tell you. And what's the proof? Because they only said you can't reuse a shtar, because the shtar only was mishabed lekuchot on the first loan. So the shtar, the same shtar, cannot mishabed lekuchot on the second loan. But take that out of the reason. I'm not worried about mazik shikra. So you see what? So you can write the shtar before the items happened. Ahu gabra. The afkid shav marganiyata the saide bezdina. Okay, a guy went, he took 7 pearls, put it in a sudar, like a handkerchief, and he was mefkid it, he gave it to somebody to watch for him. Okay, somebody's watching 7 pearls. Who's watching it actually? Be'rav miyasha bar bered Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, by this rabbi's house. So the Gemara says, Shachiv rav miyasha velo pakid, which means he died suddenly, Rav Miyasha, and he wasn't able to tell his family about these pearls that he has. So now the family doesn't know, are the pearls the rabbi's, or the pearls belonging to somebody else. He died suddenly. There's a Yerushalmi that says that Rav Miyasha had something stuck in his throat. He was choking on a bone of something, and a certain type of a magician or a mean went and gave him a refuah. So when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi heard that he got healed by a mean, he said, better he dies, that he shouldn't give credit to this mean over here, that he cured him. So when he said that, it happened, he died. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, well, we're better off that he choked, instead of going to this mean over here to give him a refuah. So the Gemara says, like a shkagah yotzim epi ha-shalit. It was like, you know, sometimes when the rabbi says something, that ended up happening. So he died. His grandson died, and so that's why he didn't have a chance to warn anybody that about the money. Shachiv Rav Miyasha Velo Pakid Atu LeKamed Rabbi Ami. So now the Yorshim and the Mafkid came in front of Rabbi Ami. Amar Lehu. So the rabbi comes along and says, Hada number one. First of all, we know he's not a rich guy. He could not afford 7 pearls. So that's already circumstances that are against Rav Miyasha's Yorshim. And secondly, the Tobiah is giving a siman. 7 pearls in a handkerchief. How do they know that? So therefore we have 2 reasons to believe that the Mefkid is telling the truth. Therefore they gave it to him. But the Gemara says, depends, but Velo amaran ela delo ragid da'il v'nafik le'atam. That's only accepted that the Mefkid does not go in and out of Rav Miyasha's house. Because if aval ragid v'nafik le'atam, ema in sha'ali nafkid v'yu me'azahaza. Which means if he's constantly in the house, then maybe somebody else was Mefkid the item. And these guys are coming in, and they saw it. And therefore, they know, 7 pearls in a... So therefore, since they were not ragil to go in the house, okay, the deen is that we give it to them. But if they were ragil, the law is, interestingly enough, you let Rav Miyasha's family keep it. Even though the whole logic is maybe it's somebody else's, because he's really not rich, you don't have to wait till somebody else shows up. Right? That's just a way to push off the first Mefkid. But bottom line, they get to keep it because nobody else is surfacing. So they're able to keep it. That's the deen. Like, you're not the deen. Gibraltar gives a similar story. How Gabrad Afkid Kasad Chaspa Behasa. A guy was Mefkid, a silver goblet, a cup by a guy. His name was Hasa. Shachiv Hasa. Hasa died. Velo Pachid. And he didn't have enough time to tell anybody in his family about this item that was in his possession. Atul Kabed Rav Nachman. So they came in front of Rav Nachman again. Each one's claiming, it's mine, it's mine. Amar Lehu Yadana Ben Behasa Delo Amid. Ve'od Akayahiv Simana. Ve'lo Hamaran Ela Delo Lagil Da'iv Ve'nafik La'atam. Ve'lo Lagil Da'iv Ve'nafik La'atam. Emar Ere Sha'ari Nafkid. Ve'i Hu Mehza Haza. Same story. Trees, they said, first of all, we know Hasa was not wealthy. And second of all, if these guys were not ragil to go in, they gave a siman. So therefore we trust exactly what they said. But if they were ragil, then you have to assume it's somebody else, and they just saw it. Similar story. It's a bit taksam. It's like a certain silk silk garment. Okay, Shechiv Ravdimi Velo Pakid. Ravdimi died. Velo Pakid wasn't able to tell the family about what he had. Atu the Kamed Rabbi Abarek. Came from Rabbi Abba. Mar dehu yada the Adana be Rabbi Dimi delo Amid. ועוד הקייהיב סימנה ולא אמרן אלא דלא רגיל דעיב ונפיק להתם אבל רגיל דעיב ונפיק להתם אמא אין שעלי להפקיד ויהיו מעזה חזה. Same exact story again, which means he told, first of all, we know the guy is not rich, so therefore the odds are that the silk item is not his. And second of all, they gave a siman. They know they gave exactly a siman, what it looked like, where it was, and only because they weren't rageel to go in the house. If they're rageel to go in the house, it could be somebody else, and they just saw it, therefore the siman really is not a siman. Okay, comes the Gemara, now brings another story. Hahu de'amar lihu. Guy, before he died, he says, nechasai lituvia. He says, my assets are going to go to tuvia. Now, he didn't say which tuvia he's talking about. He just said tuvia. Shechiv. The guy died now. Ata Tuvia. So Tuvia comes, a guy called Tuvia, he comes along, he says, I'm Tuvia, I want the money. Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Areba Tuvia. Hey, here he is, he's here, give him the money, finished. Which means, even though, let's say, there's other people that are named the Tuvia, that maybe that's what the guy meant, we don't wait till another Tuvia surfaces. The first guy that shows up, and obviously we're talking about when the guy was a friend of the Niftar, he's not just some guy, he knew him and all that, so therefore you have to assume that that's him. The first guy that shows up and he was friendly with him, he's like, you know what, maybe he was able to persuade the Niftar to give him all his money before he died, and therefore you say that's the way the Rosh explains. Which means, you don't have to say that the guy's at a Mai. Maybe this guy's a Ramai, he's a crook, he's coming first because he knows there's another Tuvia that's really his best friend. No, you can assume the first guy that shows up, he knew about it, it's his friend and all that, and you give him the money. Now they're giving us some sefikot over here. Amar Tuvia. The guy says, I'm giving all my money to Tuvia. Ve'ata Rav Tuvia. And Rabbi Tuvia came. So now the question is, when he said Tuvia, is he going to call the rabbi Tuvia? He would have called the rabbi Rav Tuvia. So now the question is, when Rav Tuvia shows up, the Gemara says, Le Tuvia Amar, Le Rav Tuvia Lo Amar. Right? You say, if it was a rabbi, he would have said Rav Tuvia. He didn't say Rav Tuvia, so therefore there's no claim. But the Gemara says, but let's say he's his friend. Sometimes the guy can be close to the rabbi, and therefore, Hagishbe, he's close to him. And therefore, he might have called him Tuvia. He doesn't call him by his title, Rabbi Tuvia. So Gemara wants to make that play. Look, if the relationship is close, where you could assume that he would call him by his first name, even when Rav Tuvia shows up to get the money, you give it to him. Now the Gemara has a couple of sifrikot over here. Atu Shene Tuvia. Two Tuvias show up. One is a Shechin and one is a Talmid Hakam. Who gets it? Who gets first? Shechin is like a neighbor, not necessarily a neighbor, but a Shechin means close to a friend. It says neighbor, but it means a friend, associate of the Niftar. So you have a friend and the Tamid Hakam with the same name, Tuvia. Mm-hmm. Who gets it? So the Gemara says, Tamid Hakam Kodem. You give it to the Tamid Hakam. Why? Because she quotes from a Gemara in Berachot, that what? The Mistama Adam Matzdik Ma'asav Liskot B'Sha'at Mita De'amar Mor Kol HaNevi'im Lo Nitnabi'u Ela Lemehanet Tamid Hakamim Menechasav. The Gemara says that the greatest Beracha that all the prophets talked about that a person is going to get, that he benefits a Tamid Chacham from his assets. That's the biggest beracha a person gets from the prophets. So the Gemara says, Mistama, when the guy's saying, I want to give my money to Tuvia, and he's a Tamid Chacham that's called Tuvia, Mistama, he wants his actions to get the most benefit. So then what does he want? He wants to give it to the Tamid Chacham, not the neighbor. So that's what the Gemara says. Again, Shechin, ותמיד חכם, תמיד חכם קודם. קרוב אין תמיד חכם, תמיד חכם קודם. Even a relative that's called Tuvia, and a תמיד חכם that's called Tuvia, you give it to the Tamid Hakam. For the same logic again, the guy rather give his money to the Tamid Hakam because he gets zechuyot. Now he says over here that this item was said, even if the karov is one of the yorshim amit, even if he's one of the yorshim, doesn't matter. Since there's two tuvias and the met was not mefaresh, he didn't say tuvia kirovi. Wow. He wants the big zechut. The guy wants to give it to the tamid hakam. Last case, ibailu shechin vekarov mai. Let's get the tamid hakam out of the picture because whenever there's a tamid hakam in the picture, he wins. But now it's between an associate and a relative. Shachem is an associate, a close friend, and a relative. Both guys' names are Tuvia. The guy said, I want to give my assets to Tuvia. Which guy wins out? So Gemara says, Tashema, let's do what the Pasuk says in Mishneh. Tov Shachin Karov Me'ah Rahok. Which means a friend is closer than a distant brother. Which means a person has a closer relationship to the associate sometimes than even the brother. Tov Shachin. Then Tov Shachin Karov, but he's friendly with the guy. Me'ahrahok. So therefore, it's not necessarily you assume the guy likes his brother more than likes his friend. It's possible that the friend can come first. That's the way they're basing it on that pasuk over there. Which that's the assumption. You assume that the guy is closer to his friend than the brother. Last case, Shnehem Kirovim. Okay, now it's one against one. Two relatives with the name Tuvia. Shneim shechinim, or two associates, two friends that are called Tuvia. Ushneim hachamim, or two rabbis that are called Tuvia. And the guy just said, my money's going to go to Tuvia. So what do you do with this case over here? Shuda de dayane. Shuda means that it's thrown on the judges, which means the judges have to, you know, figure out which guy they think the deceased had kavanah for. Look at Rashi, Shuda de dayane, hatala tadayanim. Lefi mashir u dayanim, shayad al kos shelmet, nekarev et zeh yotel mezeh. Which you'd have to see in this guy's life. Who was he closer to? They have to start figuring that out. O mish b'shnem tov v'nohek b'derech yishara. Or which guy is more straight or decent, shiesh tomar bonet kaven amet neshut. Well, you could say, oh, he probably meant this guy to give it to him because he's a straight guy. So that's already shudad dayani. It's thrown on the judges and they have to make that calculation. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.